Officials at the state and local level are proposing regulations on data centers, with Democrats in Columbus focusing on energy usage and tax breaks, as some Republicans call for a study commission. This is Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about their perspectives on all this are Ohio State Senator Kent Smith, a Democrat from Cuyahoga County, and State Representative Gary Click, a Republican from Vickery. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you for having us, Lucy.
Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you. We've talked a lot on this show about opposition to data centers in Southwest Ohio. Representative Click, what are you hearing from your constituents about them?
Well, up in here in Northwest Ohio, where I'm at, there's a lot of angst about the data centers. And in fact, House Bill 646 just grew out of concerns from our local community. One of our local community groups, American Page, specifically invited me to join them for a forum on data centers. And I attended that. I took notes. I paid attention. I listened. And a lot of our constituents had a lot of angst and anxiety about the potential of data centers coming to their neighborhoods. And so I looked into it further. And as a result of that, I produced, along with State Representative Kelly Dieter, the concept of putting together a data center study commission to investigate and to give a report on what are the best practices concerning data centers in Ohio.
Okay. And we'll talk a lot more about that proposal. But first, I want to ask you, Senator Smith, what are you hearing from your constituents about data centers?
Well, I mean, I think they're concerned about two things, affordability and reliability. The concern is that because of the massive amount of energy that data centers use, that's going to drive up everybody's energy prices because, you know, electricity is essentially a shared system. But also, you know, the concern about can the system stand all of this increased demand. The average data center in Ohio uses about the same amount of energy as 60,000 households, and that's the size of Dayton. And we've got about 200 of these things already, with, you know, maybe another 200 planned. And so, you know, it is a huge increase to the power demands for the state of Ohio. And I think people are concerned that they're going to get stuck with the bill.
Well, that's one of the concerns we've heard repeatedly on this program, is how much electricity these data centers use and what that could mean for people's own utility bills. Senator Smith, how would Democrats' proposed legislation address that?
Well, so Senate Democrats had a press conference back February 3rd, where we announced a variety of, you know, proposals that we would be introducing. And one of the reasons why we had that press conference the early part of the month was to, you know, kind of notify our Republican colleagues that we thought this was an opportunity for bipartisanship and wanted to sort of just give them the heads up and sort of try to begin the conversation, at least in our chamber. But there's two, you know, and so there's a number of bills that we're going to be proposing, two that I'm kind of the point person on for the Democrats in the Senate, is one to repeal a existing tax break that I can go into a lot of detail on the reason for it. But there's currently a tax break that data centers can make use of. And this has been one of the reasons why we've got so many of them in Ohio. But, you know, the question is just, is the tax break worth it? Does it creates construction jobs, and that's a good thing, but it doesn't. These data centers don't employ a lot of people. And so there's a lot of question as to whether or not we're getting enough bang for our buck as a result of this. But the other one is quite simply, and I think we've seen a bill in the House to do something similar to what I'm about to say, but just the whole pay your own way notion, that if data centers, again, if they're the size of Dayton, if a data center is going to come into an Ohio community, that they've got to figure out the power that they're going to need, and they've got to figure out, you know, they've got to pay for that power and the cost of the transmission. So kind of a pay your own way proposal.
There are so many pieces of this to talk about, but Representative Click, I do want to ask you about those tax breaks. I know there was an attempt to end that sales tax exemption in the state's biennial budget. Is that something that you think the Republican majority in the House supports?
Well, it obviously is. And first of all, let me just commend Senator Smith for having a pulse on the people. I think this is a bipartisan interest, and I think they proposed and acknowledged a lot of significant questions with their proposals. And yes, I mean, we passed it in the budget, so that means that the Republicans are behind it, and it's a bipartisan support for that. I think a lot of the problem is that the Ohio Tax Credit Authority is five people unelected. Not that they're bad people, I'm not saying anything about that, but three of the five are appointed by the governor. And so it's not surprising that he vetoed that, because, that's his authority that is making those decisions. And I think that this needs to be a more broadly studied concept about whether those tax breaks ought to be there or not for those data centers. I'm not going to say that they shouldn't be there. There should not be some form of a tax credit. But I think we need to look at that and analyze that a whole lot more thoroughly. And as Senator Smith said, are we getting our bang for our buck out of those tax abatements and those tax breaks, tax credits that are being sent to the data centers? So I think there's some bipartisan interest in reexamining that.
You mentioned studying again, Representative Click, and I know that's something you brought up with your House Bill 646. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? That calls for the creation of a data center study commission. Tell us what that would do, what you have in mind with that.
Yes, thank you. And so the idea is that we create a bipartisan study commission that starts with the questions instead of starting with the answers. Many times when we introduce a bill, typically what we're saying is we think we have the answer to this. And we're proposing an answer, and it does go through a legislative process, and it can get tweaked and so on and so forth. But I think right now we have more questions than we have answers. And so if we can put together this data study commission, and we've tasked them with certain questions that they have to ask and answer in this process, and many of those include some of the things that that Senator Ken has mentioned. And in fact, we submitted that to committee. I think the committee, we anticipate maybe some amendments to that. And one of the things I'm asking for is that they actually consider all of the legislation that's proposed as they do this. Take a look at, Senator Ken's bills. Take a look at, we have some in the House. Representative Rader and Thomas have a bipartisan bill. Representatives Demetrio and Workman have a bill together. And I think they ought to consider all of these proposals and as well as other questions. And there's a list, and some people have said, well, why are you having them study this? Do you believe this? And they're accusing me of trying to taint the study. And in all reality, it's like, these are the common questions on both sides of the issue. I want them to study every single common question, but they're not limited to the questions that I put in there. All questions that are relevant that they think of and that they see should be studied, and then come out with a proposal for best practices. And I think as I look in some of the small villages that are tasked with making the decisions on these data center study in these data centers, a lot of these, they're great and good public servants, but especially in some of these small villages, this is a part-time gig. They work a full-time job somewhere else, and to be able to process all of this information and then to have that study done like in one small community like Gibsonburg in my district or Woodville in my district, and then have it done over in another place in Norwalk, and then to do it in Senator Kent's district, and then to do it over in Cincinnati, and then in Marietta, and then up in Youngstown. It's like, why have all these people go through, reinvent the wheel? Why don't we just bring it all together and have a recommendation for best practices that can include proposed legislation if they think that's necessary, or it can just be a report on these are the best practices that our mayors and our villages and our cities and our counties can take a look at this and say, okay, we still have autonomy. We still have home rule, which I know is something that Senator Kent values. But we're going to look at these best practices. We're going to follow these, or we might adapt this or might adapt that to work to our local community rather than maybe making a statewide decision for everyone, because one community might see it one way, another community might see it another way. But at least they have a guideline of best practices. And that's what I expect and hope to gain out of this commission.
Senator Smith, what do you think of that approach, a study commission approach?
Well, I think we can make some of these decisions now. The repeal of the tax credit is something that Senator Blessing of Hamilton County, a Republican, and I proposed in a budget bill back in December of 2024. We are going to introduce it as standalone legislation, but it also exists in a budget bill that we put out in 2025. And I mean, if we were to repeal the tax break that data centers currently have, that would return, at least according to our most recent calculations, $187 million to the Ohio General Fund. And there's a recent study that suggested that, and it was from the American Edge Project, which is a technology advocacy group. So, you know, not anti-data center at all, but they looked at all 50 states, the number of existing data centers, number of proposed data centers, and how much tax revenue those data centers would produce for the state. And adding both current data centers and projected data centers, Ohio is seventh in the country. But when you looked at the projected tax revenue, even though we were seventh in the country for data center activity and development, we were 22nd. And the amount of tax revenue that was coming in. So our tax break is completely out of balance with what other states are offering. And again, it's important that, you know, these tax breaks are for billion-dollar corporations that, while the economy continues to kind of suffer under tariffs and inflation, the tech companies are booming right now. This is probably the one subset of the American economy that does not need a handout from Columbus legislators. So I do think, you know, it never hurts to convene people and talk about best practices so communities will not get hosed, so their water tables will not be compromised, so their electricity will still be reliable and affordable. But I think we can take some steps now.
I want to remind our listeners, we're talking about how Ohio lawmakers are approaching regulations for data centers. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Akiva. Thanks so much for your call. What's your question or comment?
Yes. So I saw recently some articles saying that Musk's data centers were using technology to generate electricity. I don't know the details, but the key factor is that it was violating law. It was violating EPA regulations, and it was poisoning, and therefore poisoning nearby small towns and whatnot. So with the EPA not functioning because it wasn't able to take action here, how will Ohio lawmakers, how will these decisions and these regulations make sure that this doesn't happen here? I'm from Cincinnati. I don't want these small towns hosed. I don't want these small towns not only screwed for financial, but I don't want them poisoned.
Thank you, Akiva. Senator Smith, is that an issue that the bills that you and your fellow Democrats have proposed? Have you looked at environmental regulation or impact?
Yeah, we're especially concerned about water, but also obviously just emissions. One of the bills that we've talked about is a bill that would require, we're sort of calling it the Ohio Power Reliability and Fairness Act. Senator Weinstein of Summit County was going to take the lead on this, but it was a bill that would require the PUCO to provide some oversight on energy demand. And any, the bill is intended to protect ratepayers from any costs associated with data centers coming online. And obviously, you know, a part of that is to make sure that, you know, existing environmental regulations and laws are followed. Because, there's another side of this argument, which is, that the way technology moves, that, you know, it's entirely possible 10, 15, 20 years from now, we're not going to need data centers. You know, the technology will kind of move beyond the need for these kind of giant electronic warehouses. But yeah, we don't want to have poisoned land and poisoned water as a result of the boom that is currently going on.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Akiva. We are going to continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, how the city of Cincinnati is approaching data center regulations. This is Cincinnati Edition. Support the news and information you value. You can give online at WVXU.org. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about state officials considering the regulation of data centers in Ohio. My guests are Ohio State Representative Gary Click, a Republican from Vicary, and State Senator Kent Smith, a Democrat from Cuyahoga County. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. We do have another caller on the line. Hey, Dr. Sawyer, thanks for your call and for your patience. What did you want to talk about?
Hi, thank you. I just heard, I forget who brought it up, that you created some legislation in 2024 with Lou Blessing about cutting out the tax breaks for the data centers. I agree, these technology companies are leading the market with all the money. So why can't we, as this Ohio legislation is controlled by Republicans, start a single bill today, pass it in 48 hours, and get the governor to sign it so we can save those tax breaks we're giving to those who are the extremely wealthy to benefit the health and wellness of our state of Ohio, as we need that also as a family doc. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Sawyer. Representative Click, I'm going to come to you on that, because that was something that state lawmakers passed in the last budget. I believe Governor DeWine vetoed that provision, as you referenced. Is there an appetite to have a standalone bill to get that done?
Well, first of all, thank the caller for the question. And I think it's a very significant question and a great point. And I believe Senator Smith has already introduced something like that. And I'm happy to watch and see how that comes through if it progresses through the legislature. I also know that we still have time to override some of the governor's vetoes. I have not, you know, I'm not in charge of whipping the caucus to see what the appetite is. But that's something that could also just be, obviously, we could just overturn that veto. And there may or may not be the appetite in the legislature to do that. But I think that certainly is a possibility. And I think there's just a lot of concern on both sides. And of course, you know, he says, could we write a bill and send it? You know, and the thing about, you know, Senator Kent's bill is it's a great thought. But if we pass it, the governor is going to veto it again. And so we look at putting this through the Data Center Study Commission. I think it's a lot harder, as we found out with the property tax study commissions and so forth, that once it goes through a commission, it's a little harder for him to say no to what we're trying to say. And so I think this study commission will actually provide extra oomph to what we're trying to say when it comes to getting these things across the governor's desk.
Thanks for that call, Dr. Sawyer. Senator Smith, did you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I would. And it's interesting that I do think the study commission will have one of the ways that it could be beneficial is it'll continue to keep this issue on the minds of Representative Click and I's 130 other colleagues. And so, you know, we don't want this issue to go away. But I'm actually, and this is going to be strange, I'm going to take a slightly more optimistic view of the possibility of repealing the tax break than my Republican friend that I'm on the show with, because we've seen that DeWine has said that data centers pay their fair share. And we've seen the Speaker of the House, Matt Huffman, talk about repealing the tax break. So I actually think that we may well have penetrated the policy minds of both the governor and the Speaker of the House, neither of whom is my political party. But, you know, we may well have some, if I was betting, I would say we're going to repeal the tax break by the end of 2026. But I would encourage all of your listeners to, you know, call the governor and call their state representative and state senator and ask them to do so. Because again, I think this is something, and once you realize the size of the tax break and the small amount of jobs that are generated by an operating data center, I think anyone and everyone with a reasonable mind who's got to balance a checkbook at home realizes that this tax break is not worth it and we should repeal it.
We got an email from David. It's a lengthy email. I won't be able to read the whole thing, but he says, besides the well-published impact of data centers on increased utility costs, including both energy and water, there are several issues that are problematic. One, he calls a land grab. High-tech ultra-mega corporations are flush with money, especially in the era of the AI gold rush. They are using this money to snatch up valuable agricultural land. He also notes what he calls secret real estate deals done behind closed doors. Repeatedly, we see neighbors, especially in rural areas, learning after the fact that major real estate and zoning commitments have already been signed by local politicians. And then he also references lavish tax breaks being given to these mega corporations and says local politicians are in effect being enticed to give huge tax abatements to these mega construction projects. We certainly already talked about the state sales tax breaks. Would either of you like to comment on David's other points that he refers to as land grabs and secret real estate deals behind closed doors?
Yeah, if I could jump in there, and I don't think Senator Kent and I are too far off on a lot of things, just to be honest. Ohio Farm Bureau just had their ag days in the legislature, and one of the bills, one of the priority bills that they were lobbying for was House Bill 646. And I know that they are concerned about the use of agricultural land that is being taken up. And they're also concerned about the water and how does this, of course, we know everyone's concerned about the aquifers. We also know that how do they dispose the water that is used? And that's a big issue because I know there was a proposed concept of just issuing one permit statewide for all data centers. Whereas a farmer, if he has two farms, he has to have two permits. And the farmers are held to a very high standard for the disposal of their water. H2 Ohio is a very big and huge and a successful program in Ohio. And are we going to just thwart that by not having regulations on the data centers? And so I think that's something that's certainly going to have to be addressed. And the Data Center Study Commission is tasked with looking at that and listening to experts in the field and the environmental impacts of these data centers.
Did you want to weigh in? Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Lucy. I would say, recent data that I've seen is Ohio has lost 400 farms in 2025. And obviously, I think data centers is a contributing factor to that. Now, I would say the agriculture tariffs that, didn't go so well considering our highest crop is soybeans. And we lost that market because of the tariffs. Contributes to that also. But if farmers are not able to sell their crops for whatever reason, then obviously some of them are going to just, give up the hope that the family farm can continue. And these billion-dollar tech corporations can buy up the land perhaps at a bargain rate. And so, I think Representative Click is correct in the respect that the Ohio Farm Bureau is correct in having concern about what data center land demand is doing to farming in the state of Ohio.
I want to ask you both this just very quickly. How quickly do you think the state needs to act when it comes to laws and regulations related to data centers? It seems like these projects are cropping up all over the state really quickly. And what are the possible impacts of delaying these policy decisions? Let's start with you, Senator Smith.
Yeah, the sooner the better, in all honesty, because in Fortune magazine said in 2025, utility companies across the country put forward $31 billion in new rate requests. And some of that is Ohio. Our utility costs continue to increase because data centers are coming into Ohio. They're not having to pay for the increase in electric demand. and we're all paying for it. So yeah, the sooner the better, and we need, you know, and the legislature needs to move quickly on these issues.
What do you think, Representative Click?
Well, I think the sooner the better is actually correct. I think we both agree. And like I said, I don't think we're too far off on some of these things. Bipartisanly, we understand the cry from the community on these issues. And what I will tell you is that we have testimony on tomorrow, actually, for the Data Center Study Commission. And it is interested party, it is opponent and proponent testimony all combined into one, which is a sign that our chamber wants to move this quickly and get this out. We have a short timetable on once it gets signed. We have an emergency clause. Now, in order to enact that emergency clause, we're going to need to have Democrats on board because it requires 66 votes and we have 65 Republicans. But I think this, and we do have some Democrats who are actually co-sponsors, so I think we should be able to get that. I hope we can work in a bipartisan manner to do this, because that way, as soon as the governor signs it, the clock starts ticking, and they have 6 months to produce the report, and they can produce it sooner if they want to. But 6 months is a short time frame for them to do all this study and to produce all of this. And I think the sooner we can get this done and the more that we can work together across party lines and across both chambers to accomplish this, I think the better off Ohio is going to be.
Well, I've been talking with Ohio State Senator Kent Smith, a Democrat from Cuyahoga County, and State Representative Gary Click, a Republican from Vicry. Thank you both so much for your time today. Up next, how the city of Cincinnati is approaching data center regulations. This is Cincinnati Edition. The city of Cincinnati is getting closer to regulating data centers in its zoning code. What could that mean for residents and for companies that rely on these facilities? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about the city's approach are Cincinnati City Council Member Mika Owens. Welcome back, Council Member Owens.
Thank you, Lucy. Always a pleasure to be here.
And Cincy AI co-founder and CEO Helen Todd. Thanks for being here today, Helen.
So wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Helen, I saw the data center map database says Greater Cincinnati already has more than 20 data centers. Most of those are outside the city limits, but there seem to be about half a dozen or so clustered downtown. What do we know about those facilities?
Well, these are much smaller than the ones that make the news and get the headlines. So it's great to know what's in the city. And, you know, at a state level, we already have over 191 data centers with 102 more in development.
Wow.
And we've already seen Ohioans see anywhere from over 26% to 35% energy increase in costs on their electricity bills. So I share, you know, the excitement of all of AI, but also, you know, hold space for the nuance and what does progress look like and how does that impact the residents of Ohio. So I'm very excited to be here today to explore this with you and Councilmember Mika Owens.
Councilmember Owens, are these existing data centers causing any concerns for the city? Have you heard from constituents who are worried about them?
So for the particular ones that are here, I don't think I have not heard concerns, but this pragmatic step that the city administration is doing is really recognizing the moment that we are in, AI is here. And so I think the conversation is, you know, there are ways that we can use AI to be more efficient in government and deliver services, but there are also consequences. And so we are making sure that one, from a municipal code standpoint and our zoning laws, that we actually have a definition for AI data centers. Because we do recognize that, yes, they're not just the big, large buildings that you see along the interstate. They can be these smaller spaces as well. And so for us, the critical component is energy consumption and what that is doing to residents right now.
So Councilmember Owens, can you talk a little bit more about what prompted the city's interest in regulating data centers and looking at the zoning code this way?
Because it's happening all around us. You know,
we're surrounded.
We're surrounded, yeah. Literally. And I don't think I even knew the data on just Ohio until recently. And so this is the revolution, the technology revolution that we're in. And so this is us being forward thinking. And so what this kind of pause is, this overlay, is really giving us the opportunity to recognize all of the utility coordination that has to happen, where Duke fits in all of that. I mean, we've got to protect our natural water source in the Ohio River. We have a climate action plan called the Green Cincinnati Plan. And so reducing energy costs is a part of how we move forward. And so it's a moment for us to recognize what are the intricacies and the details that we need to be aware of before people start saying, hey, we want to invest in Cincinnati.
Okay. We're talking about how the city of Cincinnati is approaching the regulation of data centers. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Councilmember Owens, you referenced this a little bit, but I know City Council earlier this month voted on temporary regulations for data centers. Can you explain what those entail, this overlay you just referenced?
Yeah, so this overlay is covering a large part of the city where it could be identified as a potential data center. I think it's 22,000 parcels of land. And so while this is happening, the administration is going to be working behind the scenes on what does the zoning code actually need to say to define it, the conversation with Duke that needs to happen, again, going back to utility coordination, and what other policies do we actually need to be thinking about as we're having this current conversation. So right now that means this overlay. And so this would be an agreement for 3 months of the administration being able to do this work with the caveat of an additional extension of 9 months, I think, on top of that, if we don't have the answers that we need. So, again, it's really a safety net and us doing our due diligence in this environment that is rapidly changing.
And can you all explain whichever of you would like to, how does the city's current zoning code address data centers, or does it even address data centers?
It doesn't. That's the fundamental crux, is that we've got to define it. And so therefore, you know, what then becomes the regulatory environment, or what also then becomes the incentives that makes sense. But most importantly, the conversation has to be centered around energy costs not being passed along to our residents. And what we have been seeing is that, you know, we are talking about rural areas where costs are being passed on to those that can't afford their bill already. So this is truly a conversation of not only sustainability, but equity as well.
Okay. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Doug. Thanks so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. What's your question or comment for us, Doug?
Yes, thank you. I was just listening to some of your prior guests there, and I mean, I've been involved for the last couple of years working almost exclusively on land development projects for data centers, and as a result of those efforts, we get involved in a lot of discussions with community people, whether it be community leaders or the general public, about some of the issues that you've been bringing up on your show. And I guess I would say that I think a lot of the issues that some of these groups and some people are raising just really, they aren't really factual. And in some cases, they're outdated. And I'll say that in a couple of ways. I mean, you hear the issue about jobs a lot. A lot of these data centers do have significant jobs, and the economic impact analysis that we've completed on these will really show that they pay an average wage that's about 40% higher than average wages in the states and the different communities that they're operating in. So, you know, the days of these office buildings or a lot of manufacturers going in with high paying jobs, I mean, the data centers are a clean use for the communities. They don't have truck traffic. They don't have smokestacks. They bring in a lot of cases, maybe several hundred jobs that pay 40% higher than the average. They bring in construction labor that may go for years as these data centers are developed out, which also support the community, support sales tax, support housing in the communities. You have vendors that come in that, you know, install CPU racks and different aspects of inside the box pieces of these data centers, that all of those are huge benefits to the city, not to mention property taxes, and they really are. I think when people come around and look at the communities that have accepted these, I think in hindsight, people will regret that they, in some of these communities, they've turned them away.
What do you think, Doug? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what about farmers? We heard from our last guests, you know, about farmland that's being sold to provide land for these data centers. Do you have experience with that?
We do. We've approached a number of farmers, and I've been involved with the industrial development for, you know, over 30 years, and certainly worked with a lot of farmers in that aspect as well. But, you know, the farmers, they have a right to sell their land, and you know, I don't think you hear people talking about their rights. I mean, these are farmers that are just good, decent people that have spent, you know, in some cases, generations with these farmland and farming. And this is an opportunity for them to monetize their family investment. A lot of them are getting ready to retire and move on, or maybe they don't have children that are interested in the farming anymore. I heard one of your guests say they're buying these farmlands for bargain prices. The farmland is being purchased for above market prices for these data centers in almost every instance I've been involved with or have seen.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt you there, Doug. I apologize. If you could stay on the line, I think we might want to get your number to have you in our database because you're very knowledgeable. But I do want to get back to our guests who are in the studio. Helen, do you have thoughts on some of the things that Doug was saying about jobs and the number of people these data centers employ? I've heard different information about a big, 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 big facility that only needs like maybe 50 people. So I'm not sure what's right there.
Yeah, I mean, one of the issues with the data centers is the lack of transparency in general, where even in one town here in Ohio, they gave, I think, a $15 million, or don't quote me on that, a massive tax break, only to find out that it was Meta later, and that wasn't disclosed as part of the development. So we've already seen lack of transparency with these data centers. And the promise of them is like, yes, all this money from all these big names are coming and investing in Ohio, but the construction jobs we appreciate, but they're short term. And then for these massive ones, it could be anywhere from 25 employees to 150. That's not long-term, like massive workforce development growth. Although there are really amazing initiatives in the state on the workforce development front. And besides just, you know, we've got, 76,000 something farmers. And it's not just the electricity, it's quality of life in these communities. Like if you look at Memphis, where SpaceX is, I mean, they have illegal generators there that has noise pollution, there's water consumption, there's water pollution, and just the quality of life of the communities around them. And you have a Microsoft attorney on camera saying no one wants a data center in their backyard. I don't want a data center in my backyard. So that gives me a pause. Like, what are we putting in the back of Ohio residents' backyards if a Microsoft attorney is saying that, you know, in a recorded meeting? So I think there's a lot of nuance, and I commend the city to taking a very proactive approach for the Cincinnati Greater City Limits. I support the 9-month commission too. You know, everything's moving so fast with AI right now. It's like the rug is getting pulled out from under us. And I like to say in the information age, you know, we think in 3-month quarters. That is not, you know, that's a drop of time for what to meet the moment that we're at. And I find a lot of inspiration from our Indigenous brothers and sisters. When they make decisions that impact the community, they look 7 generations out. What are our children's 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 children? Like, what is the environment, the water quality, their quality of life? Like, I'm very excited about the promise of AI, but I think we do have to be very thoughtful of these very consequential decisions that we're bringing.
And Lucy, if I could just echo what Helen is saying, this overlay is just about that too. It's quality of life. It's if something is being built in our community, we will have a say in what that looks like, not only from an aesthetic, you know, character perspective, but all of these other important natural resource perspectives as well. And so to the point of like transparency, that is what defining this in our municipal code will help us to do is, yeah, how much usage, how much water usage are we even talking about? about? What type of center are we even talking about? And so, again, to the point of this conversation just rapidly changing, a month ago, I did not think I'd be on WVXU talking about AI data centers, yeah. right? That's how fast it is. And so for me, as an elected official, a decision maker, it's incumbent upon all of us to have the real conversation of, yes, these are the ways AI can be helpful. If anyone has an iPhone and been using Siri, you're using AI, but how can we actually be prepared as a community for this?
So for both of you, do you see data centers as an asset for the city, as a problem, both, neither?
I think it has to be done in the right way. And we also, so it's a all of the above conversation. It's, you know, people that want to make an investment in Cincinnati and create jobs, not just construction jobs, but long-term jobs. We see UC even, you know, creating certifications and programs that mid-level kind of management. And so that long-term workforce strategy. But how are we using AI, I think, is a part of the community conversation that needs to happen. And these are new conversations within city government right now, right? And so I think it's a larger, broader bringing stakeholders to the table and recognizing how can we adopt this to the benefit of humanity, to the benefit of delivering services, to the benefit of the people who live here.
Helen, do you hear, I don't know if this is a function of your organization, but do you hear from companies that already operate data centers in the city? I guess I wonder, do you know what their thoughts are about the city's approach to this regulation?
I can't say that specifically that I've had those conversations. Since the AI is a volunteer community, we're the largest AI community in the state of Ohio and tri-state region. And our members are almost 2,000, and they are from the beginner to the advanced and for the curious and the nervous and everything in between. And every time I'm up on stage speaking about AI, the question of sustainability always comes up. And you see within the community, like especially the very pro-tech, like they're so excited to be on the map. And I'm very proud that Cincy AI gets credit for really being the catalyst of the responsible AI movement here in Cincinnati, where the coast say move fast and break things. We're like, you might have already broken society a little much. Let's pause, you know, before we deploy this. And, you know, when I think about data centers, like, do I want Ohio's new slogan to be Ohio, the home of data centers? Like, that doesn't resonate to me. But right now, Ohio is like the heart of it all. And we have so much heart that cares about responsible AI development. And when these companies look to Ohio, I just don't want them to see farmland that they can scoop up. I want them to see an amazing workforce that is excited to build responsible AI. We're working with Jobs Ohio to do upskilling and AI certifications. As Councilwoman Mika Owens just said, UC is at the very forefront with business school just introducing an MS program for AI. So there's a lot of excitement around the city to showcase the actual people and the talent here. And the best of AI is when it amplifies human potential and not replace it. So that's what I get excited about. And when the Microsofts and Metas and OpenAIs look to Ohio, I want them to see the people in Ohio as the amazing assets too.
Councilmember Owens, I know this interim development control overlay district that we've talked a little bit about will be in place for 3 months, as you mentioned. There is this opportunity to extend it if necessary. What will that mean for any companies that want to build a new data center in the city during that time period?
That means Cincinnati is on pause and asking questions, and we're doing our due diligence. We certainly don't want to be an impediment to growth or progress, but I hope people recognize this is a moment for us to get our ducks in a row, if you will, so that we are responding appropriately. Most, you know, the priority in that is for our residents and also for businesses that might want to invest here.
Does that mean some maybe extra review for anybody who comes to the city during this time, extra levels of review than people have had to do in the past?
I believe that is what that will mean. It also means we take this conversation into the public domain when people want to pursue a development project, right? And so by way of the Department of Economic Development, we'll have to do public notification. And so people will be able to come down to City Hall and give 2-minute public comment and all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Helen, is your organization getting involved? Will you be weighing in and offering your feedback during this study process?
We try to be apolitical, but it's hard in this environment. But I'm very much for transparency and community involvement. So if anyone wants to present to our organization any of the stances, because we welcome and, challenging our views and holding space, that there's a lot of nuance right now. It's not a binary AI is evil, AI is good. There's so much nuance and it's so new and we're all, navigating this together. So we welcome those types of conversations and any town hall meeting I'll definitely be at because as with many of our members, I share this concern beside all the excitement as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just to correct myself, Department of Planning is who's leading the zoning conversation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we did have a caller, Kurt. We told him we were running out of time, but his comment was that he says these data centers should be required to install solar panels equal to the energy they will use.
That's a great idea, as I am hearing that. And so this is a part of what would be uncovered in this overlay.
Mm-hmm. You had mentioned, Councilmember Owens, that council will have the option to extend that overlay district for another 9 months if 3 months isn't enough to get all this done.
That is correct.
Do you think that's a real possibility? I mean,
I think it's a real possibility considering how fast this is moving and how much we have to consider. And so to get to something like what the caller just mentioned, yes, sounds like a good idea if we're talking net zero here, but what does that look like in practice? And so again, some of this will have to be, what are some of the best policy introductions that we will need to make as a city.
Yeah. Are you expecting that? I mean, you just mentioned that move fast and break things isn't necessarily our motto. Do you think it could be good to add another 9 months to this study, Helen, and really dig deep?
I am absolutely for slowing down and being very thoughtful. And I'm very proud at CincyAI. We are very human-centered and not how much can we help these companies to make a whole lot more money. It's like we want that, but we want how can this help our community thrive? And one of our mottos is a rising tide lifts all ships. So we want whatever solution to be a win-win for everyone involved.
And okay. I will just echo one other thing. Yes, at the city, we never want to cut jobs. It's about enhancing people's ability already.
Okay. Well, I have been talking with Cincinnati City Councilmember Mika Owens and CincyAI co-founder and CEO Helen Todd. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. And Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.